Hey, this is James with Fringe Voices. I'm back from a long hiatus. Today I interview Professor Keith about cryptocurrency trading and has started trading and how to be successful in the cryptocurrency space. So give it a listen and please rate and review the show when you have a chance and enjoy your day. All right, so today we welcome Professor Keith. And Professor Keith, hello, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. Thanks for joining the show. We've been on the Fringe Voices show has been on a long hiatus, but I've been in the cryptocurrency space for the past couple of years and noticed this guy here, Professor Keith, and he seems very interesting. So I wanted to bring him on the show.
That's not true. So, I'm extremely boring.
I doubt that. So we'll just jump right in. How would you describe yourself and how would you describe what you do?
I would describe myself as a normal guy, but I'm nobody special. What I do is technical analysis. I don't really care what the asset is. I put it on a chart and I trade it based on whether or not the price is going up or the price is going down. Simple as that. I don't really care what the asset is, whether that be honey or crypto or the price of tea in China. It doesn't matter to me. It's all a tradable asset. So I will put it on the chart and I will find the best place to buy it and sell it, bar none.
Now, were you always into this or how did you get your start into this space?
No, actually, this started for me back in like 2008. In 2007, 2008, 2005 was probably the best I ever did in my life. And I was doing really good, had a bunch of cars and stuff. And I felt like, we had a house. Felt like I was doing pretty well. At the time, my ex-wife had a good job. You know, everything was clicking along pretty well. Then the financial stuff happened. I was involved in that because I had one of those variable interest rates. My interest rate went crazy and we lost everything. And I was homeless for a bit because of that. But I remember watching the movie, The Pursuit of Happiness. And Will Smith's like, well, how can I have that? He sees a guy with a Ferrari standing in front of Wall Street. And he goes, how can I have a Ferrari? And he goes, you just got to be good with numbers and good with people. And I was like, that's not really true. So I don't care how good you are with numbers and people. You have to have something to start with. Well, what I found out was that was the truth. You may be really good at what you do, but you're not allowed in the club. What I found out is what we can get into later. In order to be an accredited investor, you have to have at least $10,000 to start. I got nothing. So how the hell am I supposed to start trying to be like that with nothing? It just doesn't exist. You can't. Luckily, at the job that I previously did a couple jobs ago, one of my work friends' wife worked for Edward Jones. So, you know, she's like, well, what do you want to invest in? And I said, whatever I can do to make money. The market looks terrible. I would like to buy something. I'd always kind of been interested in it. I always kind of thought, I remember the movie Wall Street with Michael Douglas. And I remember thinking, how can you do nothing and have so much money?
Right.
How can you be such an awful person and still be so successful? Like how? How's that possible? So I remember as a kid thinking, yeah, I want that. Had a red Lamborghini poster hanging up on my wall. Lamborghini Countach. Red, right? Every kid of my age at the time, you know, had that red Lamborghini poster hanging up. And I was like,
I did too.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. So I remember thinking, I want to be that. Long story short, I put $25 in. She said she would trade it to the side for me since I couldn't. She was nice enough to do that. I got up to about $800. After that, I moved it over into Forex. I decided to start trading Forex because I thought there was more money in it. And I lost a lot. I lost most of the $800. I got a little bit better in life, did a little bit better at the time, managed to get a little bit more money. And I built that up to about 2000. I managed to get 2000 into about 6000 through savings and doing Forex and doing a little bit of stock stuff. Managed to get up to about $6,000. That's about the time that I met one of my friends, Andrew, at a different job. I switched jobs. This time I got divorced. I was homeless the whole nine. Switched it up. I had to start fresh. I was living in my cousin's junk room. I had nothing except a bag of clothes, a couple guns, and a truck. That's all I had. Had to figure out how to do all this over again. And that was in 2017. Yeah, 2017. So started all fresh, got about $6,000 together. I sold my camper and a couple other things at a travel camper. I sold it and a couple other things. Put that into crypto. We were sitting there one day at forklift training, believe it or not. Both of us had forklift certification. It was kind of dumb to us that we were even there doing it. We're bored. So we're Forexing, sitting there doing charts, trying to figure out which pair to trade, scouring through stuff. And I happened to see him pull up Coinbase. And I was like, what is that? He says, oh, this is Coinbase. I'm going to buy crypto. And I was like, well, I've heard of that, but I've never bought any because I felt like it was all a scam. He said, well, I said the same thing until someone told me how much money you can make. And I said, well, what's XRP? You got to buy XRP. It's only a quarter right now. This is all a true story. It's only a quarter. I remember this, like where we were walking through the parking lot on the way to the forklift. It's only a quarter. You got to buy some. He was like, it's going to be $10,000. No bullshit. This is what he says. It's going to be $10,000. Right? Laughing at it now. But at the time I was like, wait, what? So I can buy four for a dollar and it's going to be 10 grand. Okay. I'll buy it. I'll put in 20 bucks and whatever. I remember that day. So I took a couple days to do it because I didn't listen right when he said so. But I bought some. I bought $20 worth at 28 cents. And then I thought, that's not enough. I'll buy some more. Because a day later, the price went up. And the price went up a little more. And the price went up a little more. So I said, I'll buy $800 worth. I remember where I was sitting when I did it. Bought $800 worth. The price went to 79 cents. Thought I was going to be rich. From that moment until 2020, I did nothing but lose money. So that was in 2018. That was September 2018 when I did that. I did nothing but lose money after that. I learned the hard way that cryptocurrency works just like everything else. You must chart it. You must use technical analysis. If you don't, you're simply losing. That was a hard lesson to learn. And I spent a lot of time picking myself up off the floor. I said 2020, but it was probably more like 2019. I managed to catch a really good leverage trade, ran that thing up from, I want to say 17 cents to about 34 cents. I think I wrote all this down when I did it. I made $45,000. Thought I was going to be a millionaire, right? Thought I was the king. Lost it five minutes later. Lost every penny of it 5 minutes later. Had to figure out what I did wrong. Went back and reanalyzed myself. And then that's when I decided at this time I was still trying to do some news analysis and fractals and all this other dumb shit that doesn't work. And, you know, I tried to have an open mind about other things and it just failed me. Everything else failed me. And I honestly can't blame it on anybody but myself because it was my foolishness to think other things work beside the chart. And that got me to where I am today. Long story short, you have other questions, so I'm not going to answer one. I'm not going to use one answer to waste them all.
No, that's fine. I appreciate that background because it is, it gives us a little bit of more history into how you got started. And you weren't always into the crypto space that you happened upon it. And even then, you know, where there's losing happens and it's not until you, like you said, you get into the charts and technical analysis that it does start to win for you. Mm-hmm. So based on that, what do you think, and I think you did touch upon this, but what do you think is the biggest mistake you learned investing or trading in cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, that's an easy one. The biggest mistake I made was allowing myself to fall prey to others. At first we blamed it on other people, right? That's the amateur in me. I blamed it on everyone else for telling me to do the wrong thing. Wrong. The problem was me. The problem was me listening to people who didn't know what they were doing. And because of that, I suffered. You can't blame other people. You can't blame your failures on other people. You got to own that shit. Right. And that's the first problem that I encountered. I tried blaming other people. Well, you told me to do this. No. It's my money. I did that. Okay. How can I not do that again? Okay. Don't do this. Don't do this anymore. This doesn't work. Okay. Well, he says it works, but you just lost $45,000. Right. It doesn't work, Keith. Stop. Right. So I had to have a reckoning moment with myself. And once I erased all the other noise, by noise, I mean AMAs, bullish news, YouTube videos, Twitter nonsense. Why I'm bullish on this project? No offense, podcasts. When I erased all of that, trying to tell me why something was going to go up in price, then I started making money. Not until I did that, did I actually pull money off the market and put it in my pocket, because I couldn't, because I didn't know what I was doing exactly. I had to fail over and over and over again. And Forex, you know, when you're doing Forex, you have to be sharp as a razor blade with your TA, because that's literally all Forex is technical analysis. The chart might move 3% a month. Okay, you have to be sharp, because if you're not, you're going to miss. Well, crypto moves 20% a day.
All right.
So, you know, you got to be sharp here. You can't, you can afford to, you can, on crypto, you can afford to slip a little bit and be all right. But with Forex, you must be sharp. And that was another failure that I had with Forex at first. And I started applying a different logic and I did better. You know, something in the back of my head told me, hey, you should do that on crypto, but I didn't listen. I stuck with, no, you don't get it. That doesn't work, Keith. This is what works. And I allowed myself to fall prey to that. And I was super foolish because of that. I gave this person money and everything else, thinking that they were right and they're making me money. All of it was wrong. Every bit of it was a lie. So I don't want to call out names because it doesn't work. All those dudes already blocked me. So it's whatever.
Yeah, I get it. And, you know, I appreciate you sharing that, the wisdom on the mistakes and learning from them and owning those mistakes for yourself. You know, one thing that I want to get into before we get into the technical analysis part, because I'm not even like a novice on technical analysis myself. But what's one piece of knowledge that you gained that was beneficial for you while you were investing or trading in cryptocurrency?
The piece of knowledge that I gained the most was the only thing that really matters is the chart. Take away everything else. Remove everything else. Nothing else matters. It's just you and some candles on a screen. It's all there. All the data is there. All the information is there. You don't need to worry about what's about to happen. You already have the answer in front of you. And if you don't have the answer in front of you, then you shouldn't be buying or selling whatever that is. Walk away. No one said you had to do anything. You want to do it, but that's emotions. So probably the biggest takeaway, even though I just said all that, is no emotions. There's no emotions in trading. There's no emotions in investing. These assets don't give a shit about you. Why do you care about them? They don't care about you. They do not care about you. Brad Garlickhouse doesn't care about you. He wants you to buy his product, XRP. David Moss from Strongblock doesn't care about you. He wants you to buy Strong tokens so you can buy a Strong note. This happens all the time. Vitalik Buterin wants you to buy Ethereum. That's all he needs you to do. He's a salesman. He'd like you to buy his product. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when you get emotionally attached to your investment and you decide that you just can't sell it. You just can't. Why? Well, because it might go up. Bullshit. Might go down too. Yeah, but you don't get it. No, actually, I do get it. I've already lived that life. That doesn't work. That doesn't make you any money. Now, recently, a lot of people have made a lot of money based on what they call fundamentals. And in reality, that's just not true. You just caught a bull market. Everything went up. Oh my God, you could have laid out $3 on the table and someone could have bought any crypto and it would have went up. So right. You really can't act like your fundamentals made you all this money. That didn't work from 2017 till 2020 and a half. So what are we talking about? You can't really claim that your fundamentals suddenly made you money, because they didn't make you any money for several years. That's all kind of a farsity. You have to remove your emotions. That's probably the number one takeaway. Remove your emotions. These assets don't care about you. You cannot care about them.
And it's probably the hardest thing, I think, too. Because I still get wrapped up in the emotional part of it. Like, oh, I put, you know, so much money into this project and now it's, you know, it's falling down. And should I keep it in there? Because I think it's going to go up. Like you said, it's hard to get rid of that emotional part.
Yeah. Everyone always thinks everything's going to go up. That's the problem. So once you remove that emotion and you go, well, actually, the chart shows it's going to go down, and it's going to go down for several more months. Why am I holding on to something that's going to lose value? Well, because it might go up, but it might go down more. So what's your answer here? If it's going to go down, why are you holding on to it? And it's going to lose value every single day. You wouldn't do that with a car or a house or a wife.
Right.
You would get rid of them. You would get rid of them. This woman isn't any good for me. She drags me down. She doesn't do anything helpful. She's a horrible person. Why am I married to her? Oh, I'll just stay married to her because. That doesn't work. We've already proven that in society. So, you know what I mean? Like, if you're not going to do it in real life, why would you do it with your investments, which are actually more important?
Yeah, exactly. And so you did touch upon this. You said the chart is the most important. Technical analysis is what is involved in that. What, in your own words, is the TA or technical analysis, and how do you apply it to everyday investing or trading? This is a loaded question, I know.
But. Oh, no, it's fine. That's actually a good question. So technical analysis, in my opinion, is nothing more than risk reduction. I give this analogy all the time of a dartboard. If you go into a bar, you decide you're going to play darts. A novice just picks a dartboard, sees it, and just starts throwing darts. Okay, you're unlikely from wherever you're standing, be that 20 feet, 70 feet, however far you are away from the dartboard, you're unlikely to just randomly hit that dartboard. What you need to do is turn, square up, aim, focus, and then throw. Now, do all that from 10 feet away instead of 60 feet away. That's what technical analysis is. I'm moving you closer to the dartboard so that you can get a better shot. At 60 feet, you're unlikely to hit the board at all. From 10 feet away, not only are you probably going to hit the dartboard, you may actually hit a bullseye. I'm not asking you to get the dart and place it into the dartboard. That's dumb. Okay. I don't think that's smart at all. However, if I can get you 10 feet away, you're doing a much better job than everyone else. Technical analysis, it allows you to see that. It allows you to make a much larger target into a much smaller target and take a far better risk. It's risk reduction 101.
Nice. Good, good way to break it down too. What is your personal strategy for cryptocurrencies? Do you try to find a moonshot, which I'm doubting is not the case, or do you just look for solid investments with a solid return?
Neither. I don't look for any. I don't look for any moonshots because I don't think they exist. I mean, you can look at any chart and see that no matter what the chart is. A lot of people like to throw up things like Doge or SHIB. The thing is, we can actually show you where the chart was a buy way before that ever happened. Okay, you just have to be willing to find that one. Yes, do some people get lucky and just buy things at the right time? Yes. Do some people jump on a moving train and catch that ride? Yes. Is that smart? Probably not. But that happens, okay? I don't look for any of that because I don't think that's realistic. What I look for is a buy on the chart. If it's a buy on the chart and all my indicators show that it could go higher, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to ride that buy until it's no longer a buy. When it becomes a sale, I will then sell that and then look for a better one. If I don't have any better ones, I will then short the market. I will bet against the market. I will bet on the market to go down. And when the market goes down, I will make money on the way down while everyone else is suffering. Okay? That's simple as that. I don't care about the fundamentals of the companies. I don't care about what they eat for dinner. I don't care about whether they're on Fox News or CNN. I don't care. All that stuff's already factored into the chart. And a great example of that is any company that has good fundamentals, you'll see the chart slowly rises because the sentiment remains the same. That would be like Google, Ford, GM, General Steel, General Electric, whatever. All these blue chip stocks, they all move up slowly and steadily with the market. Because they have good fundamentals, the sentiment's never going to change. People are going to continually look for better places to buy. Those fundamentals change. You'll see that in the chart and you'll see that it's a sale and you probably shouldn't be buying anything of that particular asset. And I give stocks as an example, but crypto will eventually be the same. It's going to take some time for that, but you'll see the same thing kind of happen. Where if somebody's got good fundamentals, you don't need to worry about all that. You can just buy the chart, watch it go up. And when it's a sale, sell it. When it becomes a buy again, rebuy it, ride it back up over and over and over again. That's the way I do everything. I don't treat any asset special. There are some that I can't sell because you lock them up in order to earn, but I will absolutely sell those earnings at the right time. I'm not going to sell them at random any times. I'm going to sell them when the right time comes. So That'd be the only other exception. So it's like, if you're staking something, or if you lock something up for a node or whatever, then you can't just sell it. You have to wait for your rewards to come in and then sell your rewards at the right times. But even that is a even that asset has a fully tradable chart. So.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, I was going to ask this next question, if you had invested in anything or besides cryptocurrencies, and it sounds like you are involved in, like you said, anything that you can buy and sell. What's a good example of a couple of things recently that have been something that you've had invested in or traded?
I always fiddle around with a little bit of Forex because it's always there. You always have a chance to make a little money in Forex. I'm not saying you're going to make a home run. That's kind of wild. You have to bet a lot of money to make a lot of money in Forex. But that's always there, and I'm always fiddling around. I recently traded USD, Great British Pound Sterling. I made about $100 in a day on that. Just bet very small amounts, and bam, the chart took off right around this wartime stuff. Luckily, the chart was a buy before that ever happened. Sort of talk about all the time. We can try to bet on the war, or you can know the chart was already a buy before that, which is what I did. Someone in our group shared the Russian ruble dropping off a cliff, and it was short a couple days before it actually happened, and I missed it. My Forex broker doesn't have the Russian ruble on it, so I couldn't trade that one, but his does. He's in Europe. I'm in America, so he had the Russian ruble on his, which sucks. I'd love to have traded that one because I'd have made a killing. I mean, that's $1 million trade right there, watching that thing off a cliff like that and seeing it coming first is like, man, I want to put in on this so hard, and I can't do it because it's just not allowed. But I could do British pound sterling. So I absolutely hit that one, and then the chart reversed hard. I recently bought WTI crude options, did well on that. I have an open Facebook option because it fell so far so fast. There's a humongous gap in the chart. I believe that'll probably go up to around 300 again, at least. It may fall farther from there. That's fine. As long as my strike price gets hit by March 14th, I'm fine. So, I'm not far. I'm not far from my strike price. So, what else did I buy? Canberra Energy Incorporated. Traded some of that. La Jolla Pharmaceutical Tech. Traded some of that. Whatever I can make money on, and I see something good at the time, I'm going to do it. We actually planned ahead for this cryptocurrency market to do this. We'd been planning ahead for a bear market. So I'd already moved money before all this went bad. I already taken like $20,000 and moved it over to Charles Schwab Street Smart to be able to do some trades on the regular market too, because I knew this was going to happen eventually. So we already had some charts mapped out that we thought looked really bad that would have a chance to reverse. And I had about a list of like 40 of them. And I kind of went through and picked a couple. I also chart everything that Nancy Pelosi does. Her information is open to the public. She took some humongous option risks right at the beginning of the year, and she immediately started failing. So, you know, everybody kind of gets on about insider trading, but she's losing money right now. So,
which is ridiculous.
Right. She bet on some stuff that was at all-time highs, and you never bet on stuff that are all-time highs. You want to bet on stuff that aren't at all-time highs, but I get it. She bet on some select things like Roblox. I'll tell you real quick. Let me look real second because I forgot. Hang on.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Pelosi stocks. She bet on Salesforce.com, Roblox, Disney, and Micron Technologies. Wow. Yeah, she bet on those three or four. And I think one of them is close to getting back in the money for her, but not yet. So all the rest of them are down. Could have told her that because the charts were in a sale and not a buy, but her financial advisor told her what to do, so she did it.
He's the one making the money.
Exactly. He gets paid no
thing about brokers. Right, exactly. Well, I like that you're into all these other assets as well. I haven't even considered going into that because just the cryptocurrency thing takes up a lot of time just doing research on that. But it's interesting to hear these different trades that you've been making. And you know, the thing that got me and back circling back to the cryptocurrency thing that got me into cryptocurrencies was Bitcoin. Then I bought some back in 2020. And I've done pretty well with it, just holding on to it. But do you have any, I know this is like everybody's Bitcoin maximalist thing. Do you have any thoughts on Bitcoin in 2022 or especially compared to 2021?
So yeah, actually it's still technically in a parabolic uptrend and it hasn't failed that yet. It's close. Hasn't failed that yet. Boy, that's tough. It went up so far so fast. In my opinion, it's going to be up but sideways. You already hit a lick. It already went up from 2020 to 2020 from where we're at now. It already went up 650% and then 326% as we're at right now. If you look at the big chart, that's why we're talking. So give me a second here. Yeah, on the big chart, you've already failed the midline. You did make a higher low, which is good, but the problem is it's a head and shoulders formation, and that very well could fail. There are CME gaps. What is a CME gap? That's Chicago Mercantile Exchange that closes on Friday and opens on Sunday afternoon. So there's a gap in the chart for crypto. There are only two assets like that, Bitcoin and Ethereum. All the rest of them don't have gaps. But those two particular assets trade with gaps. So there's a gap here at about 24,000. There's another gap down here. There's another gap down there too. I'd have to dig around to find it. And I know there used to be one around 9,700. I think we probably closed this gap around 9,700. I think that was close enough. But for sure, there's one around 24,000. That will likely close. Maybe not now, maybe later, but one day it will close. It did close the one from the 2021 move up. There was a gap there. It came down and closed that one. That's nice. Still one more gap there, though, and I believe that's likely to close. If it does, we're going to hit an extended bear market. I think that'll probably take a year or two to play out, which sucks for everybody who thinks their fundamentals are great. You mentioned how much time you spent. You mentioned how much time you spend doing research. I spend 0 minutes doing research.
That's awesome.
0 minutes. In my opinion, if it's on a centralized exchange, you're likely to be able to trade it and it'll be all right. Yes, is there a risk of delisting? Yes, but they'll tell you that beforehand. Right. If it's on a centralized exchange, then likely you're okay. It's likely not a scam. If it's on a DEX, well, that's the risk you're taking. If you need to go on DEX screener to find it, it's probably a scam. So walk away from that. I don't really spend much time at all researching. Everything I do is chart-based. If the chart looks good, I'll buy it. Now, yes, there are guys in our group who do research, and when they show me something that looks very scam-worthy, no thank you. I'm not going to buy that. I don't give money to scams, and the reason behind that is when you empower scammers, they get better. And you don't want them getting better. You want them getting worse. So.
And one of the bigger ones in the space right now is that Wonderland one, which is just, I don't know what's going on with that. They're trying to come up with all these proposals now. And
yeah, here's the problem with autonomy on the internet. DAOs. You just gave your money to someone you don't know who they are. Yep. Yeah, you can see one guy, but what about the other seven that are in charge?
Right.
Are they all scam artists? Well, guess what? Something I tell my kids often. I have two little boys, 8 and 11. He turned 9 yesterday. 9-11. I got to get used to that.
Oh, happy birthday.
I know, right? Happy birthday, Jax. Hope you're not watching this. Please don't watch this. Something I tell my boys all the time is when you run with the wrong crowd, you're guilty by association. So if you fill your team full of scammers and call yourself a non-scammer, I'm sorry, that's not how it works. You're a scammer too. You're guilty by association. I specifically remove myself from groups that are involved with any type of a scam so that you can never say I'm guilty by association. Well, Keith's in there. No. Don't play that. I don't want to hear it. Keith left. As soon as he found out what was going on, Keith was out. No, thank you. I don't want a part of that. You asked me to come and look at it. I came and looked at it. No, thank you. I'm out. I don't want anybody using my name as, well, Keith said it. So it's no. I don't want to hear that. There are multiple of them like that. Some of the biggest scams going right now are like that. Thor, Hive, Calm, Atlas, Vapor, Fire, all these scams. They're all people that you can't see on the internet who are random guys. They've given you a first name only, maybe. You have no background on whether they can run a business or not. You have no idea if they're able to financially secure assets that are tangible to move and make money with. You have no idea if they're actually able to properly invest your money. They're probably most likely just going to buy whatever they want to buy, which has actually happened already. And a great example of that is, you could use Thor, but I'll go with Fire. They bought validator nodes with people's money.
Oh, wow.
So if they're selling nodes and they bought other chains' validator nodes with investor money, what does that say about their own nodes?
Right.
Why don't they just buy their own if they're so good? Why did you go buy something else? Well, that's because you wanted that validator node, but you couldn't afford it. So how did you afford it? You got other people to give you money to do it. And now since you own the wallets and you're in full control of the wallets, not them, you can kind of do what you want. At any given time, you could just leave with it. It's yours. And then what are you going to do about it? But you invested, you see. So it's a terrible, terrible idea. In order for that to work, everything needs to be fully on the table. I spoke about accredited investors earlier and how I didn't have enough money to be one. Well, there's a chain of events that follows an IPO. And if you don't know what an IPO is, it's an initial purchase offering. All major corporations, when they enter the NASDAQ or the Dow or the S&P, they have an IPO. All right. There's stages to an IPO. Three stages minimum. You have your initial investors. Those are the accredited investors only. Okay. And they usually have a threshold of over $2 million in liquidity. That means they have $2 million to spend minimum. They've accredited this by going through a full KYC system with fully doxed bank accounts and everything, right? These people are allowed to go first because we know you have the money to spend and you're not going to shit on everybody, okay? Round one, those are round one A-series investors. Round two, these are people with $10,000 or more. You can buy if you have $10,000 or more on round two or series two funding. Sometimes they'll call it that, okay? Whatever, that's fine. So anyone with $10,000 or more who's accredited, KYC, doxed fully to the gills is allowed to do this. By the way, this all goes through a licensed broker whom has the right to do this and handle this kind of thing. A licensed broker, okay? Doesn't exist in the crypto world. You are the broker, folks. So that's, you know, that's round two. Round series C, $5,000 or more, okay? And then once series C runs out, they'll allow the regular guys like you and me to buy if we'd like. You get a couple day period to buy if you like, okay? Then the thing hits the market. What happens almost every single time something hits the market? And I'll use Coinbase as an example. It drops 60%. Why? Because there's initial buyers and the round A and the round B and the round C, they all want their investment back. So they sell. And this is accredited investors, everybody. This is fully doxed. I know your social security number, your bank info, everything. Show me one fully doxed developer in the DAO space or the node space. One. There might be two. That's it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I know David Moss. You can see everything about him you want to see. You can see where he went to school, where he's worked, yada, yada, yada. You can find his information if you dug hard enough. Maybe one other, and that's it. That's it. There are no others. All you know about these other people are their first name and that they're younger than you. And if you dig around a little bit, you find a lot of nefarious activity. So that's how an IPO works, and an ICO should work exactly the same. However, that's not what happens. What happens right now, you probably know this, but somebody goes on an AMA on a Discord channel and says, hey, everybody, get whitelisted with us. Get your tokens now.
Right.
Then they give out all these tokens. After they give out all these tokens, they have an audit after the fact. Well, it's too late. You done gave out tokens now.
Yeah,
and in fact, the audits don't cover the money side. They only cover the code side. They don't even cover the wallets. Does anybody even know that? No. All you think is they're fully audited. No, that just means someone looked at their code to make sure that their blockchain is real. That's all. You know how hard it is to make a blockchain? Takes 5 minutes. So don't come at me with how you did so much great work. Anyone can make I actually have the information of a guy who hit me up in my DMs on Twitter one day and said, hey man, if you'd like to create a DAO, let me know. I have a fully turnkey ready one. I do this for a living now. I was like,
oh, really?
$1,000 turnkey. He'll pass it over to you and you have your own scam ready to rock.
Wow.
You don't have to do anything except pay him $1,000 worth of Ethereum and you're ready to roll. keys wow. handed over to you. And I was like, are you shitting me? This is real. So I was like, yeah, this must not be very difficult to pull these scams off at all. And we dug a little deeper and found more. So.
Yeah. And I guess to kind of counteract that, or I guess part of the decentralized aspect of it is some of this, like a normal everyday person being able to come in and invest rather than having to have that $10,000.
Absolutely.
But then at the end of the day, I see what you're saying too. You're investing with people that you don't know who they are. They can easily pull the rug on you. And it's happened to so many people I know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there still needs to be some things worked out.
What you mentioned, being able to do that on your own without having to have 10 grand, that's great, but use a centralized exchange. I'm not asking you to use Coinbase. There are many others. You could use crypto.com right. or FTX or Voyager or Kraken or whatever you want. Binance US, Binance, whatever. You can buy crypto right there, and you can take those coins off of that exchange and put them on a hard wallet. You don't have to go enter the DEX world and buy from randos. You don't have to do that. You chose to do that. So the next time you get rug pulled, remember, it was on you. You chose this.
That's
you
right.
You might blame them for being dicks, but you gave them the money. So don't give them your money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it comes back full circle to that thing you're talking about, where it's you got to own your mistakes and you got to own mm-hmm. the choices that you made. Yeah, it's just that, you know, there's so many things that you can make money on in the space in a short period of time. It's just that's the part that is attractive, I think, to most people.
Agreed. You know, when stuff like Jade or Papadao were offering 2 trillion% APY, like, I mean, that's attractive. That makes you want to bite the hook. But you also need to know that's completely unrealistic.
BS, yeah. So, all right. Well, I'm glad we talked about some of that, because I was going to talk about the scams and the rug pulls. I think we did touch upon that, and you know what can make up a scam or rug pull. Basically, most things on the deck screen are probably a scam at this point.
Unfortunately,
Yeah, unfortunately. And I just want to get into just a couple of things while we're near the end of this podcast. And one of them is, I know that, you know, I've just been on Twitter here and there and noticed that people tend to hate on you a little bit. So I wanted to find out, you know, like, why are people hating on you so much? Why? I know it's not a lot of people, but some people.
Well, okay. So I sometimes I go about things the wrong way, and I know that. So the problem is, when you put, number one, social media completely ruins the aspect of a conversation. That's the first thing. Okay. That completely ruins any aspect of any conversation that you may have in normal real life. Everyone takes everything wrong because you can't understand the context with which they're typing. All right. That's a social problem that we have in general. Second problem, when I call out something as a scam, there's a reason behind that, because there's red flag after red flag after red flag. How many red flags do you need to see? And then I have these people occasionally that say, but listen right here, you're wrong about this one thing, but what about the other 100 I just gave you? The other 100 red flags I just gave you. Does that mean 99 don't matter and only one matters? No, that's not how it works. People are very emotional. What I've noticed recently, and this is no knock on anyone, I don't care how old you are, but there's a generality to speak of here. 18 to 25 aren't my demographic. 18 to 25 are more careless with their money. Okay. Just noticed that. Google Analytics tells me that. My private consults tell me that. I see these people one-on-one. I might have had 3 people who are under 25. Out of the 160 private consults I've given, 3 have been less than 25. Okay. That tells me that mostly of age people are the ones who care more about taking care of the money. All right. And that's where technical analysis comes in. When I give you something and I say, hey, this is a scam, there's a reason behind that, because I can't see the developers. I can't see the wallet information. I can't see who's allowed to touch the wallet. I can't see why they gave out the money beforehand. I can't see the blockchain. I can read the blockchain, but I can't see where the wallet go. I can't see where the transactions kick over to wallets, or why those wallets already have transactions before the chain ever started running. I can't see where you're investing money. I can't see what's stopping you from taking all the money out. Okay. There's so many red flags. And when I call them out, people get very upset because they've already invested in those. In fact, they call themselves DGens as a badge of honor. I'm a DGen.
Yeah, and I think that's an emotional part you've been talking about too.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Why would you want to be a degenerate? Oh, that's not what we mean by degenerate. What we mean is we're willing to take a risk on something that might be more shady. That's a degenerate. That's not what you, no, you can't change it to make it sound better for yourself. That's still the same thing. That's terrible. Why would you want to be that? And oh, as long as I'm making my money back. No. Remember I said earlier, I don't want to empower a scammer, because when you do this, they get smarter. There was a first round of scams back in October, November. All right. There was a first round. They weren't very good at it and they got millions. Round two. That's what we're in now. They've gotten better. They're the exact same copies of the scams. And I'm not even lying to you here. Okay. They're the exact same copies of the same scams. Only they change the wording around and they use better keywords, better hot words. They throw in words like meta. They throw in words like node and words like endpoints and words like RPC. And they don't even matter because they don't have a real product. And since they don't have a real product, it's a scam. You're buying nothing. If you're buying nothing and you know it, what are you doing? Oh, I'm getting my money back. You just gave that scammer thousands of dollars. And you're going to tell everyone you gave that scammer thousands of dollars. And then they're going to do it. And then this scammer is going to get loaded. And when he gets done with this, he's going to start a new one. In fact, you can even go see where they signed up for the damn domain names and see how fast and how easy it was for them to make this shit. How do I know that? Because I did it myself just to try it. $52, 7 minutes, and I had a scam name done. Just like that. Wow. Like, come on. This shit's easy. It's not even that hard. I think what you said earlier about you spend a lot of time researching. They don't care to research. They just want to make the fast buck. And there's a problem there, okay? That's going to go away. When it goes away, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to go back to try and buy an XRP for the rest of your life again? Like you tried for the, like you've been trying since 2019 or 2020, whenever you got in? You think you're going to make millions of dollars and you haven't yet and you can't figure out why? That's when these people will slowly crawl back. They'll slowly crawl back and ask me, hey man, what does this chart look like? Because some of the very same people who throw shade at me hit me in the DMs and ask me what the chart looks like on something. Now, I don't share the DMs with everybody. I don't tell everybody's business until things get sharp and I have all these guys enter my Discord asking about a scam over and over and over and over. I have the information on your scam right here. I can tell you where the developer used to work, what he does for a living, where he lives, and he knows nothing about crypto. And why is he a developer? He's not. He's a scammer, folks. Sorry. Oh, no, he's not. He's a nice guy. He's all about transparency. Why won't he tell you his name? If he's so transparent, why won't he tell you his name or his teammates' names and dox all of them like a real investor and tell everyone where they're from, how much money they have, the whole nine. So we actually have a real story here. Oh, because you don't need to, because this is crypto. Oh, shit. Whatever. I don't need to hear it anymore. I'm done. I'm over it. And that makes people angry, I think. And that's where you get a lot of the hate. And something I noticed back in 2020 when we formed the group that we have, if you're nice about everything, no one listens. Sometimes I come off as a dick, and I'm not trying to be a dick. What I'm trying to get you to understand is you need to be a little bit more blunt yourself with your own self. What am I really doing here? What am I really doing? And you got to call yourself out. You got to call yourself out and let yourself realize that you're doing the wrong thing so you can fix it. Otherwise, you continue in the same perpetual failure over and over and over again. I don't want to see anybody fail. I want to see everybody make money with me. I want everybody to be able to do what I'm doing now, which is retire and do this for a living. This is the dream for me. So I want everyone to live the dream with me. It's nothing personal, but everybody takes it personal. Everybody, when you buy a little bit of something, you feel like you own a little bit of it and you don't. That's the problem. And, rule number one is emotions. No emotions allowed. That's probably the reason for most of the hate.
Yeah, and one thing that I've taken away from a lot of this is I think that's the biggest takeaway is the no emotions in the investing part, because the emotional part is what gets you, makes you lose the money, as we've talked about.
Mm-hmm. When you catch yourself saying something like, I feel like, or I think that, stop. What do you feel? You feel emotions. So stop right there. What can you see and what do you know? The chart's going down. I'm losing value. Why am I holding this? Stop right there. That's it. That's all you need to ask yourself. That's over. Once you do that and you think, damn, all right, well, he's right. I don't want to be right about you losing money. I want to be right about you making money. It takes, everyone has to take their own, that step on their own. Everyone has to step back and say, what am I doing wrong? How can I do better? I try to do that every day. Even if I do well, I try to do better the next day.
Yeah, man. Well, I think we've had a good conversation. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up or anything you want to leave with anybody that's listening?
No, really. Thank you for having me. If you want to check out our group and learn yourself, you can. It's 786unlimited.com. I have my Discord group on there, my Patreon on there. I have private consults on there on a Calendly page. Calendly is where I schedule everything. You can go schedule your own day. I think I'm booked up till the end of May currently. So wow. It takes a bit to get a class. I'm sorry. I have limited time, so I don't constantly flood myself with work, because otherwise I ain't gonna want to do this anymore. So I've tried to set more limited hours for myself to try to help myself keep focused too. I don't want to spend hours and hours and hours doing this. I'm gonna be fun anymore. So yeah, 786unlimited.com. I got all the information over there. If you want to message me, you can. I'm on Discord, CarolinaKeith_1. I'm on Twitter, same name. Telegram, if you want to use Telegram. I don't really use Telegram much anymore, but same thing. If you're a scammer, I'm just going to delete you. so many scams, dude.
I know.
Other than that, really, please, everyone, be smarter with your money. Think about what you're doing. If I can do this, anybody can. I'm a nobody from nowhere. I recently did a video on myself so everyone can see where I was from. The Southern 8 Mile, that's me. So anyone can do this. You just got to be able to, you just got to be willing to dig in, sink your teeth in it and learn.
Thanks, Keith. I appreciate it. And I'm going to put all this information that Keith was talking about in the show notes so everybody can see and just click on the links to go there. But thanks once again. Appreciate it. And have a good rest of your day.
You too. Enjoy, brother.
Thanks.